Thanks for joining us for today's Power Walk Ministries broadcast and our current series titled Intentional. Reverend Paul Cannings brings us this teaching with a keen desire to help us become more passionate and fervent in our love for God and the fulfillment of God's great commission. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, we see the life of Lydia and her commitment to God in using whatever resources she had to help Paul share the good news of the gospel, encouraging us to do likewise. Here's Pastor Cannings with today's message, Get to Work.
You know, many times people would tell me how dark the world is, and I keep saying that's a blessing. And they say, what? It's not a blessing, man. It's getting worse. There's all kinds of evil taking place everywhere. I mean, people dying from gunshots and from plagues, and families are breaking up, and people are turning against one another. Folks on jobs are ruthless. What are you talking about? I say to them, have you ever noticed that the light company never gets mad about darkness? They see that as a business opportunity. We are the salt and the light of the world. What are we complaining about? Get to work. Stop complaining. He said it's a sin to complain. Philippians chapter 2 says that. So if the world is getting worse, what are we doing? Ah, that's how we look at this woman named Lydia in Thyatira. This woman who made a difference because she recognized the difference that God made in her life. She respected it. She honored it. We need to be like this woman, Lydia. He says in verse 15, let's read verse 14 and verse 15 as we continue through this woman's life and see how powerful her life was. He says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye had judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Let's spend time in the first part of this verse. He says, and when she was baptized. We're not going to get into this issue of baptism. Is baptism save you or not and all that stuff? You know, baptism save you. The guy on the cross never made it to heaven, and Jesus lied. Because Jesus Christ said, and obviously Jesus does not lie. So if he said to the man on the cross, I'll see you in paradise, and he didn't come down from the cross and baptize the guy and then take him back and put him back on the cross, then obviously he went to paradise because Jesus doesn't lie. Okay, so we could debate that all day and get ourselves all worked up when the focus of salvation happened on the cross and at the garden when he rose from the dead. He took on sin, and the penalty of sin is death. Adam sinned, Eve sinned, death. That's it. It took them a long time to die, but they were spiritually dead. Jesus Christ came, rose from the dead. He is now overcome the power of sin because he rose from the dead. 500 people saw him after the resurrection. Now, come on now. If 500 people saw you after the resurrection and you walked around for 40 days, you have to be alive. To not believe that doesn't make any sense to me. Okay? It does not. Who was around when George Washington walked around on here? But you believe the history books and you believe he did. Who was here when Abraham Lincoln was here? Do you read the history books and you believe he was here? You see a big old statue of him in Washington and you believe that that statue represents the fact that he was here. Who's been living 400 years to know everything that has taken place? But you read, you believe, you see the evidence and you accept it. That's because eyewitnesses have represented the evidence to you. We have eyewitnesses writing the Bible, and it's represented the evidence to us, so why wouldn't you believe? Jesus Christ paid the penalty for sin. He rose from the dead. So therefore, there is no more sin he cannot forgive, and there is no more possibility that sin could ever separate us from him, which is death, and cause us to not go to heaven. Done. See, that powerful representation of what happened, we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. I have to pause for a minute and give a little salvation message there. Value that, because we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. Isaac couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. You name the person, they can't do it because they were not fully God, fully man. They were not perfect. And Jesus Christ walked around for 33 years and he did not sin once. So if he did not sin once, he, therefore, was the best sacrificial lamb to go on the cross. That's been described back and forth in the Old Testament. What kind of lamb will be killed in the temple, and therefore the sins of the family, especially on the Day of Atonement, is forgiven because they brought the right kind of lamb. The lamb that's released into the wilderness, Jesus came from the wilderness into Jerusalem, and he died, and there was nothing wrong with him as the lamb. None of that we could have done. It is by grace we have been saved, not by our works. It is a gift of God. So when we come and we see what is taking place here, baptism simply is an identification, a public identification that I have now lined up my life with Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're going into the water and coming out. So it's a strong statement that we identify with him. You actually see this when the nation of Israel is coming through the Red Sea. One of the things that impressed Rahab was the fact that they came through the Red Sea and God swallowed up the most powerful army in the known world. But this nation is rescued on the other side of that sea. She heard that. There was a baptism took place. There was an identification that this nation has to be with this God. And this God that this nation is with is a living God. He is alive. And that's why this whole issue of baptism takes place, because the person is getting up out of the water and it is identifying that this God is alive. He didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the dead. And that's why doing it in a city pool was huge in their day, because you're making a statement in the midst of all these pagan gods that I now identify with Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. This woman did that. And when she did that, she could have messed up her business. She going to Jews. Are they once all following Jesus the Christ? No. That's why Paul is there. And these are the Jews who are fighting Paul. The Jewish leaders were fighting Paul. He's in prison. He is beaten. All these different things. Going to Rome because the Jewish people wanted to shut him up. So therefore, she is dealing with the fact that her business could have been messed up. Her identification with the Jewish God in the midst of a pagan society and a polytheistic system, that could have messed her up, but she didn't care. See, folks, sometimes you wish you could take people in the middle of all their friends that they used to party with, all the friends that they used to hang out with and do all kinds of stuff, and say, listen, bring them all here. Let us bring the things that you once worship, your car, your house, your job, your education, your achievements on your resume, and let's just put it all here. And let's say that Jesus now has a brand new life for you, because that's what is identified with. His resurrection is not just his death, but his resurrection is a brand new life. The Bible says when we get saved, the Holy Spirit is poured into us so that we now walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So we are now no longer walking in the flesh. We're walking in the Spirit, and we know God is a spirit being. So how he best communes with us to be a friend is when we walk in the Spirit, because he's a spirit being. So there's a whole new life ahead of us. We got to renew our minds to understand it. So what we thought about money, we got to change. What we thought about marriage, we got to change. What we thought about job and how we function on jobs has to change. How we talk about whether we go to church or not, that has to change. She's never been to church. She's been to the Jewish synagogue. All life has changed. It's a whole new life. You're a brand new creation. All things are passed away. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. That's what this is all about. This baptism into a place where people are looking at you going in the water and coming out. They want to know, why is she doing that? That's Lydia. That's that rich businesswoman. What's going on with her? Let me tell you what's going on. It's a gospel message. It's a whole new life. See, when we come to Christ, is that transformation a true recognition of his death and resurrection? Or are we just joining church? Are we just saying that now I'm a Christian? What does that mean to us? Because to this woman, it's a transformation. That baptism is an identification of a transformation that took place when she accepted Christ. It's an identification as a public situation where you could look at me and you know I'm going to live a different way. The Lydia you know is not going to be the Lydia you see from now on, because God, when he came into my life, transformed me from an old creation to a new creation. And now everything you see from me is going to be a reflection of who Jesus Christ is. So I'm making this public identification that I'm doing that, like a woman or a man wearing a wedding ring, done in a church with a few witnesses or lots of witnesses, but the rest of the world gets to know that this person is married. See, that's what we're talking about here. And this woman had no problems with the risk that it would have taken for her to move away from her paganism, from Judaism, to identify with Christ. And everything she did had to do with the fact that she truly accepted Jesus Christ. That's why the next thing she wanted to do was to tell everybody. By the fact that she is doing this publicly, I am now identifying with this Jesus to Christ. Everything you see me do is about him. And that's what we find right here. And then she says, oh, that's not enough. I'm going home to my household. That's what we see here in verse 15. And when she was baptized and her household, in order for her to drag her household to the baptism, guess what she had to do? Share the gospel. She's fired up. Now, that's a powerful statement because it takes a lot to get a rich person to Christ. The rich young ruler, he's not about to give up his stuff. He said, peace out to Christ and left. For this woman to say, now I'm going home to my household and I'm going to share the gospel and I'm going to make this public confession and I'm going to be this person for Christ. That is awesome. And that's why Jesus Christ opening up our heart saw that in her. I'm back to this question. When Christ looks inside of you and me, what does he find? And when the time comes for us to respond to salvation, how do we act? Do we talk about our schedules? Do we talk about different things that are happening in my life? No, folks. You know, sometimes I watch people when they're into their football teams and basketball teams, and look at these people, movie stars have stunt actors and all these different people doing different things for them. We are just worshiping them and all these wonderful things that they've achieved. I'm going, what in the world? Why can't we have that same passion for God? I see people in cold places around this country take off their shirts, put stuff on top of their heads, and root for their team in an open stadium in a frigid temperature. You can't get people to do that. People wouldn't even come to church if the temperature is frigid. If it snowed, ooh, oh, Lord, that's just going to make it so difficult for me to go. Rain, oh, Lord, it's so hot out there. Yes, folks, the issue is, where's our heart? And are we intentional about how we serve God because of how intentional he was when he served us? Stay focused.
Thank you, Pastor Cannings. It's easy to become consumed with our own problems or lose sight of the fact that as believers, we're ambassadors for Christ while here on earth. So let's commit to reordering our priorities by putting God's agenda above all else. For a copy of this message series, log on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or call us at 281-260-7402. And when you call, be sure to ask about Pastor Canning's book, Making Your Vision a Reality. It will help you further contribute to fulfilling the vision for your local church. Once again, the number is 281-260-7402 or log on to powerwalkministries.org. And once again, here's Pastor Canning's.
We pray that you will financially support us as we train pastors and leaders this coming March in Sedine Ministries. We would love for you to support us because when you do this, you touch pastors and leaders and you impact churches so that they impact the community. When you do that, we will able them to provide conference materials and we're able to serve the pastors and leaders that come and to encourage them as well in this time. It's a very difficult time for church leadership. And we pray that you would support us so that we not just impact the church, we impact families and the community.
And thank you, friend, for your prayers and your financial support. And now as we leave you, remember, as we just heard, Christ was intent in how he served us. So let's be intent in fulfilling God's purpose for us to be the salt and the light in this world.